Welcome to Rooted Parent, a podcast that aims to equip parents to think biblically about some of the most pressing and confusing issues of our day. We hope you enjoyed our first season, All About Boys, hosted by David Thomas. In season two, entitled Sane Parenting in Insane Times, Cameron Cole and Anna Harris will discuss topics such as loving our enemies, engaging with the news, grieving the varied losses of the COVID season, and coping with anger, just to name a few. Rooted is a ministry focused on advancing gospel-centered youth ministry. To learn more, visit www.rootedministry.com.
Welcome to the Rooted Parent Podcast. I am Cameron Cole.
And I'm Anna Mead Harris.
The team mom. And
we have a guest today.
That's right. We've had a guest today. Guest, will you introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Chap Bettis, and grew up in the in your town of Birmingham, and came
Woo!
To New England.
Awesome.
Yeah, and came to New England and never left. Planted and pastored a church for 25 years, and now I have a ministry aimed at helping parents pass the gospel to their kids, called the Apollos Project. And Disciple Making Parent is really the centerpiece of our ministry. That book. So yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Chad, we have a running joke here. See, Anna and I are kind of homogenous in the sense that we're both from Birmingham. We're both Alabama fans. We both went to Wake Forest. And, you know, and we started this podcast, you know, in the wake of Alabama winning the national championship in football. So we were a little bit obnoxious. We're a little bit obnoxious these days. And so, folks, if you hadn't gotten enough Alabama, here we have an esteemed, well-educated gentleman who lives in Rhode Island. He went to Brown, so he's Ivy educated, but he's still a Bama fan.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. So sorry, everybody. This is not like the Alabama football podcast. It just so happens that birds of a feather, right?
Yes, and we also welcome our guests that say War Eagle.
Let's not use profanity on this podcast, Anna.
We do.
We're trying to maintain some credibility.
We love you. We love you,
just
brothers
kidding.
And sisters in Christ.
We do. We love them all. Yeah. So anyhow, so today, Chap, would you tell us about the title of this really great resource and curriculum that you've written? And then that'll segue into us maybe introducing the topic for today for here in our season. Sane parenting in
insane time.
Oh, we just it's like stocking to balloon all day long, every time. Yeah, but tell us a little bit about parenting with patience.
Yeah, so that's the second major resource I put out. The subtitle is Overcoming Anger in the Home, and my issue continues to be my own a struggle, even though kids are out of the home. My heart is to help parents pass the gospel to their kids, and kids say the number one reason they walk away from the faith is hypocrisy, not living the gospel in the home. And so, you know, our kids are watching us, and so I became burdened to say, what are some of those sins that our kids see? Well, for my family, my kids could see my upset. And so I, years ago, just resolved, I'm going to study what the scripture says, and I want to work on this for me. And then as I would talk to parents, it was an issue. And so, yeah, I decided to put it into a video series. Parenting with patience.
Outstanding. Yeah. And so, you know, we've been talking about a lot of the issues that parents are facing within the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, anger in parenting is universal. It's not, you know, just a seasonal thing that's come around, but it has certainly been exacerbated during these times. And so that's part of why we thought, you know, talking about freedom from anger in parenting is, you know, universally relevant. And it seems particularly salient these days.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All the time that we have together, the restricted freedom of movement, sort of the heaviness of making everyday decisions is new. And it's sort of made everything, it's heated up the temperature in the home, I think. And one of the things that happens is that some of us tend to explode a little more easily than we might have otherwise.
Yeah, all right, the fuse is a little shorter. And so, you know, before we get too much into talking about, anger relative to COVID, but we kind of wanted, we thought a good place to start would be for us to each kind of share a little bit about our own struggles with anger as parents, because I think there's a real risk in this conversation. There's a real risk of, I mean, I know that for myself, it's probably the thing I feel the most shame about in my own parenting is how frequently I lose my temper. You know, how frequently, you know, it's bedtime and my kids aren't doing what I want them to do, or we're driving down the road and my kids are being loud or complaining and I'm in the middle of Atlanta traffic, you know, on a trip or something. And I just, you know, completely lose it. And you know, kind of living with this sense of shame and fear that like I'm damaging my kids. Like, that, you know, if my kids were going to need to spend 100 hours in counseling as adults, like my anger is going to make it 500 hours of counseling, you know? And so anyhow, so I think we decided it may be good for us to just each kind of diagnose ourselves, or maybe talk a little bit about where we personally struggle with this, and so that you, the listener, may be able to identify with, oh yeah, that's me, totally. So who would like to, you know, who would like to confess their sin in front of 10,000 people first?
Well, you know, I'll start and get it over with. When we first started talking about this podcast, I sort of had this self-righteous, well, this isn't really my biggest issue because I have a very long fuse. And the more I worked through Chap's workbook and read some of the Bible verses and stuff, I really realized I too have a problem with anger, but I'm a stewer. And I'm a person who resents, and I get quiet, and I hold it in, and I can feel it actually in my stomach. It actually burns. And occasionally like little snide remarks, sarcasm kind of ekes out. And that's when I know that it's in there. But I tend to want to say I'm not hurting my kids because I'm not blowing up at them. And later in the podcast, Chap, I'd really like for you to talk about the ways in which that silent resentment hurts our kids too, because I know it does. I know it does. So that's the way I go with it. I suck it in and then hurt my kids that way.
Yeah. How about you, Chap? Would you like to confess your sin now?
Well, I already did, and I will do that more. You know, it's... Well, in the introduction saying, this is my issue, this is why I wrote it. But I mean, you know, I had high expectations for my kids and, you know, believe scripture says children obey your parents and they should do that. And then, and so, but was consistently surprised when they did not. And, you know, and rather than going into the day expecting, one of the things I have in there is what I call the parenting paradox. We expect our children to obey because God commands it. We expect them to disobey because they're sinful. So just going into that day expecting that, you know, when they don't obey, or like you said, when they're loud, you tell them to be quiet, you're stressed. It's an immediate reaction. We're, you know, the definition from David Powelson is an active stance you take to oppose something you assess as important and wrong. And so I think as a leader in the church and hopefully in my home as well, it's easy for me to assess things and then quickly act and sinfully act in anger. So yeah, that's why we're here.
I'm definitely more of an exploder. Like if Anna is the suppressor, I'm more of the hand grenade. But generally you have like 10 seconds with a hand grenade. I carry kind of like an internal 2 second. And I think, you know, Chap, you use the word expectations. I think that's really where a lot of my anger is. It's just having completely unrealistic expectations of my children. I have a mentor who gave me great advice in parenting. He said, don't get mad at a 2-year-old for acting like a 2-year-old. Don't get mad at an 8-year-old for acting like an 8-year-old. And I think that I have really unrealistic expectations, about, you know, my kids. I think really my children here, second grade, kindergarten, and three, expecting them to understand me.
Yeah.
You know, to understand, you know, don't you understand that I've worked all day and that I'm so tired and that I was up at, you know, I was up at 5:30. You know, I taught three Bible studies today and I'm working on the bills and the da da da, you know, and it's just totally unrealistic expectations. And so, you know, I think that's the source of it for me. But for me, there is with my kids, there's not much harboring resentment. It is, I'm an external processor and it is, you know, I can really lash out. I can really lash out and say things that I'm like just embarrassed I said, saying things that are unkind and unreasonable, you know, and then let anger carry over into discipline. And yeah, I just, it's my biggest issue as a parent. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you heard the word that it's going to be about anger and you started to feel ashamed, like you're in good company.
For sure.
Because like you said, all of us are approaching this as people who struggle. And it's manifested in different ways, but the struggle is universal. So Chad, let's maybe talk for a minute about, you know, about anger and parenting in general, but also to why it has been so magnified during COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anger is a subject that's really all over the pages of the Bible. So someone has suggested that, you know, the topic of anger and wrath is on 95% of the Bible. But I think often in the church, we don't talk about it as a hidden sin, or in my self-deceptiveness, I don't think of my responses as big as they are. Or say, oh, it's justified. Jesus was, got angry and we know he was sinful. So yeah, that was justified, there. But yeah, so it's a common human emotion / tendency to sin. And therefore, when we've got other sinners in our house, you know, what are our children? It's one sinner got together with another sinner and created a third sinner. And so you've got a lot of little sinners running around the house. I could never write those theologically correct greeting cards, you know, so congratulations on your new little sinner. So anyway, but that's the truth. This little person comes into our lives. We love them dearly. And yet they, like you said, they disobey or they're foolish and they're not thinking. And so as parents, we have a ruling function. We're to rule, we're to govern our household as underneath God's authority. And so, yeah, there are those times when there's the conflict. And James 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels? It's your desires that battle within you. That's the conflict. So, and yet to me, what I think is confusing, and I point this out in the study, and to me, this was a breakthrough, is to realize that there are bad desires, such as I just sort of indulgence and maybe, yeah, there's all sorts of sinful desires, but there are good desires, which as the leader of my home, I'm supposed to, bring about the training of my child. So it is wrong that my child doesn't obey me. It is wrong that they don't have their homework ready and it's the night before, it's the day of, and they're saying, yeah, I'm going to school. I don't have my homework. So that desire that my children obey me or that he do his homework, those are good desires. And so to me, that's what makes this confusing is I'm thinking about my own desires. So I can confess at times, but then when I get over it, well, wait, he should have done his homework. She should obey me. She shouldn't talk back to me. And so I think that's putting all these us together and having good desires as parents for our kids. And then of course they, as independent people, they have their own desires, which clash with ours. And so that's why you can get a lot of anger in the home. And then I just think, you know, Anna hit it on the head as to why during this, it's made so much worse during this time of pandemic is just because we are we're forced together. We're spending time together. There's restrictions. There's restrictions on physical outlets, just getting our energy out. And then, you know, we're forced to together. There's disappointments. There's disappointments at school. There's we're not able to know the future. There's all just is a very difficult. It's a very difficult time. So I just think that's throw that in the mix, and you just you got all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, that's a mad cocktail.
One of the things you talk about in the book that I think is really interesting is personal rights. The idea that I have a right to certain things, and you give a whole list. Like I have a right to come home from work and have some peace and quiet because I have worked so hard for the family. And I love how you throw out, I have a right to privacy. I have a right not to be bothered when I'm in the shower. I have a right to, you know, have my child obey me. I have a right to have a reasonably clean home, whatever.
Whatever that means.
I have a right to know where the stuff I paid for actually is. So, yeah. And I think those, and that's kind of caught up with the cultural moment in our country too. Rights are a really big hot button for all of us right now too. And I think that is another thing that's contributing to the stress right now. Everybody feels like their rights are being trampled on.
Yeah. And I think that this is pretty true for most people, but I know that my fuse is really short when I'm tired, when I'm stressed out, when I'm afraid, and you know, when physical needs are not met, you know, when I'm hungry, things of that nature. And you know, with COVID, you got a lot of those things swimming together. You know, we're all, people are tired, people have this kind of people are exhausted. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of a perpetual anxiety in terms of what's going on. It's this massive stuff, you know, thousands of people dying. And there's no stability too. That creates an anxiety where the routine, you know, are my kids going to school? Are my kids not going to school? Oh, we're doing homeschool today. Oh, da, da. You know, it's just all over the place. And so I think that kind of puts a little gasoline on the fire.
For me, even in normal times, fear is such fear that my child is not going to live up to his potential. Fear that my child is going to make a really terrible mistake and ruin their lives and someone else or someone else's. And again, with COVID, the fear is amped up. If my child isn't super responsible about wearing their mask or gathering with other people, then they could cause a lot of people a lot of problems. So to me, fear is really at the base of a lot of anger, at least for me.
All right. So I have a question kind of coming off of something you just said, Chap, because you talked about how it is desires. That call, that you know, desire that leads to anger. All right, so I want to ask this to Chap and then to Anna. So from a standpoint of a dad and a man, what do you think are some of the desires we have that oftentimes them being unmet or interfered with, those desires lead to anger? And then what does that look for a mom, for a woman? How might that might be different?
Well, I think I've set aside the time. I have a right to watch the Alabama football game. You know, that's
amen.
Amen.
goes without saying.
That goes without saying. And so that's one of those neutral or good, we would say good desires, that is nothing wrong in and of itself. And yet in the moment when my 3-year-old comes in and says, you know, take him to the bathroom or whatever, and mom has disappeared, you know, that's like, can't I just have a few hours every Saturday? Is that too much to ask? Well, what's beneath that? I have a right. I have a right. You know, again, all those things you talked about. After a hard day, I have a right to be appreciated. I have a right to obedient children. I have a right not to have a lot of noise. I have a right, if I'm working outside the home and my wife's not, I have a right to come home to a clean house or a semi-straightened house. Just all those, really, I think you can trace down and say, in the moment, what was I desiring more than honoring the Lord? So there's really, I mean, there's different ways to phrase that. One is a right, but Dr. David Powelson said, the evil in our desire typically does not lie in what we want, but that we want it too much. So the object of the desire is good, but it's the lordship of the desire. So there's nothing wrong with watching a football game, wanting some rest after a hard day work, but it's at that moment, it's, I will have this no matter what, and move my child out of the way with anger. So those are, I mean, those are obedience, pride, that he live up to his potential, but also that reflects well on me because I'm doing a good job parenting. Yeah. So there's all different ones. I think respect for dad, for me, respect, obedience, looking good.
Yeah, totally. That's really good. And I think it's interesting as you're saying that, and it's not the desire. It's the kind of elevated desire. Zach Hicks, who's the author of The Worship Pastor, you know, work together. And he talks about how when I'm angry, I know that there's idolatry involved. And so that, you know, that's just different language for that same concept. You have a desire that is too great, that's idolatrous. You're valuing something, you know, to a level that's sinful. So yeah, right on. How about you, Anna, for the mom, the angry mom? Tell us about the angry mom.
You know, I would often tell my kids the one thing that really would make me rage is when they were unkind to each other.
Oh yeah.
Nothing made me madder. And I know that there was fear that my children would grow up not to like each other or grow up to be mean, unkind, selfish people.
Yeah, right.
And that was also, Chap, like you're saying, somewhat about me, because if I was a good mom, my children would be kind, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And so it was definitely about reflecting on me. But I think that to me is my hot button. You guys need to be kind to one another. And it was, yeah, for mom to explode when everybody else is exploding, that's really not helpful.
Well, I think too, I think for myself, a sense of control. Like that really, I've heard that a lot of time for a lot of people, anger is really about control. Yeah, you want control and you don't have it, and that anger is an expression of a loss of control. And so, you know, for my kids, I want to be able to control them insofar as obey me, do what I want you to do, don't cause me any problems, understand me, you know, do the right things, all these kind of things. And I think for me that control and a loss of control is what really exacerbates my anger.
Chap, one of the things that you talk about in this book that is so helpful, I hope that you will provide us some information about that at the end, and we'll link it in the show notes so that our listeners can access that. But you talk about anger being a friend and a foe. And I'm curious, can you share more about that?
Yeah, well, I think, so one whole lesson is going through, it's talking about the scriptural conviction about anger as a foe. And just the impact of anger, it's you know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount links it to murder, it's baby murder. You know, James 1 tells us it doesn't accomplish the righteousness that God desires. So even if I'm silencing my children for a moment, I'm not actually bringing about the righteousness that God wants. And so one of the things I think in terms of going through that whole lesson, just which was really opening the cesspool of our heart, and you just see how bad anger is to bring it from something that's kind of bothersome and shameful, but it's in the closet, and then it just goes back in. To say, no, actually, this is a monster that I need to kill. So that's part of the faux part, is to say, this needs to move from just the annoying, embarrassing part of something in my home to actually something I focus on and strive to become patient. Love, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. That's the first manifestation. So seeing it first as a real foe. And then secondly, though, I think also to see it as a friend, I want to be very careful with how I phrase that, but this idea that it's an emotion given to me that to cause me to act, to attack a problem. And so rather than just get in a sin, confess cycle, I'm actually going to, it's going to prompt me to say, this situation is going to come up again. How will I handle it differently? What sort of plan will I have? And it may be just a plan for my heart. I can't change anything. So it's just a plan for my heart. Or it may be a plan for my parenting or the environment. You know, again, this whole, the whole COVID thing, like how can I change the environment? We just need exercise at the end of the day or something like that. So, but it motivates me to take some action. So those are the two ways I see it, both as a foe to really, to hate, to kill, to put, to mortify, the flesh. It's a foe. And that those emotions should drive me to say, this is going to come up again. What am I going to do differently?
Yeah. And I think one of the things you just said there, I know for myself that my anger is usually really impulsive. It's totally so sub-rational. And so I think for myself, like you said, kind of having a plan, like for me, the times when I am most prone to act out in anger are the power hour, like when it's from dinner time to bedtime, that right there. And then the other are is in the car on road trips. Those are the two places. And so, like you said, like I think for me, it's so key to do heart work on, you know, okay, look, the root of the problem here is unrealistic expectations. The root of the problem here is I want to move fast. I don't want to waste any time. I want to be efficient. That's an idol for me. And, you know, I even, God, this is so pitiful, but like I've found myself kind of being a little bit harsh and, you know, which I guess is a kind of a mild manifestation of anger going into the Magic Kingdom to go to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I like, it was like the Holy Spirit hit me. It's like, Big C, what we're at Disney World. Like, they, you know, like being dead last in the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is okay. That is okay. You know, and just having to like slow down and just say, you know, like the hurry or getting to school on time. And just kind of, you know, part of the plan for me, chap, like you said, is waking my kids up a little bit earlier than I normally want to. So we're not so hurried. And so we can move more slowly. And that's part of the plan, is being proactive in that way. But for me, if I don't get the perspective, if I don't name the sin and name the idols and repent before I go into the power hour or before it's time to race off to school, it's just going to be, my anger is impulsive and it's just going to, I'm not going to have any control.
Yeah. So my kids are older. I don't get to get anybody out the door anymore, which is a good thing. But for me, it's sitting, watching them lay around on the couch for hour after hour, and the garage that I've been asking people to help me with isn't getting cleaned, or the paper that I know that's due tomorrow is not being written. And I'm confronting my idols in that moment because I need children that are helpful and cheerful about it. And they're not being helpful if they're lying on the couch. Or I need my children to be successful in school, which again is reflection on me. And I tell myself it's all about opening opportunities for them. You know, I want them to have the best life that they can have. So I want them to, and I feel like this is a real pitfall for a lot of parents of teenagers, that we look at them and think that their motivations are not the same as ours. So we get angry about that. And it's really helpful to back up and see what my idols are, as you talked about, Chap, and where am I inserting myself into their lives when it's really up to them, you know? It's about them. So realizing that I'm having an anger reaction and I'm stewing in resentment while my child's on the couch is helpful in that.
Yeah, I think that desire, like we do want our kids to flourish. And there are some reality of like, look, if you would just do what I'm telling you to do, like things would go better for you, you know? And then there's the sin of like putting ourselves in the place of God and saying like, look, if you would just worship me and obey me like God, then, you know, your life would be perfect.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that I'm chronically guilty of that.
Right. I think what you've hit on is one of the challenges, especially. So, you know, I would say we should kind of structure, control little children in the best sense of that word. And then as our kids are getting older with teenagers, that definitely changes. But, you know, the verse that guided me through the teen years was you don't work, you don't eat. And what I mean by that is, like, there's certain, I'm hoping to aim for their heart, but at the end of the day, really all I can quote control is their behavior. And I'm giving you tons and tons of blessing. You're not paying for the roof. You're not paying for the water. You're not paying for all this stuff we're giving you. And so you need to realize the connection to, to applying yourself, if you want to use that. So, but that's the trick is to appeal to to the heart of the teens and then go, okay, this is a lesson they need to learn on their own. And I just need to watch them land on their face. And to me, that's one of the hardest things I faced as a parent of a young person is to say, okay, they need to learn this from somebody else besides me. Yes. And yeah. So
let the cold, hard world be the teacher. I said to them many times, the world is not nearly as nice of a teacher as I am.
That's a good quote. Yeah. As I say, the real world. Yeah. The real world is a great regulator. And if you're 6 years old, kindergarten is the real world. All right. So Chap, what are, as people are kind of considering their own struggles with anger, what do you think are some good questions that people can be asking themselves to help them go down to the roots of their anger and kind of move towards penance and move towards kind of having a proactive plan, and patterns in their life that help them experience some freedom?
Yeah, well, one of the ways is just to slow down. I've included in the Bible study, in the Parenting and Patience Bible study, I've included an anger journal just to go back and journal what just happened. What was I desiring at the moment? What was the environment? And then what did I say? And then go through positively. That's the circle of wisdom. How should have I approached that? So one way is just to slow down. Again, David Powelson, he used the phrase "replay the video." So just go back and say what just happened there, and it could be the next morning in your devotional time. So I think that's a good one. And then so there is in the appendix there is a list or the first appendix. There is a list of different rights, things to ask. Was this ruling me at the time? So that helps us get down. But I think also to say, okay, what would the Lord call me to change? Is it my heart only, or is it my heart and environment? So how can I grow in my heart to become more patient? So whether it's realizing, okay, this temptation is going to come again. Here it is, the power hour. Here it is, a road trip again. Okay. And so, Lord, I pray you would watch me over me and help me respond in grace. And so heart issues, but also environmental or parenting issues as well.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. Well, you know, to kind of land the plane here, tell us, so the Parenting with Patience is the name of the curriculum, the subtitle being Overcoming Anger in Your Home. And it can be found at the Apollos Project website, www.theapollosproject.com.
.com, yeah.
And so would you mind just give us a quick little walkthrough of kind of like the progression, the mindset you had in the curriculum?
Yeah. So people can also go to parentingwithpatientstudy.com. So I just to make it easy, parentingwithpatientstudy.com. And then I'm also just as an offer, because we're kicking this off, if people, there's instructions there. If you buy the workbook, we're giving away the videos for free during this first year. And so, yeah, really it's five video lessons each. Each lesson is about 24 minutes. There's actually two videos, so you can do it 12 minutes, 12 minute and 12 minutes, something like that. And there's a place for small group discussion. And then there's five devotionals during the week, because how do we change? We change with others. We change as we get into the word. So listening to a video of me teaching is going to be helpful, but it's not really going to change. And then there's a journal there as well to, again, to slow down, replay the video, walk through what just happened. And so basically, lesson one, we're thinking about some foundational issues and trying to understand anger itself. We talk a lot about it. The atonement of Christ saved us from the wrath of God. But I would suggest if we don't understand anger, we don't fully understand the atonement. And so we need to understand what anger is. And then lesson two, we're actually thinking about, as I talked about before, pulling the cesspool cover up back, looking at how bad anger really is. So we'll see it as a foe. And then we transition lesson three, thinking about anger as a friend. And so how that can motivate me to attack the problem, not the person. And that's another key concept. I want to use that energy there to attack the problem, not the person. And then just thinking about how do we come up with plans for our heart and plans for just parenting. So that's a little of the overview in there.
Great stuff. I really appreciate it.
One of the things I love is when you pose your questions and you have the participant look up verses, they have to write the verses out by longhand. And then sometimes go back and circle words, circle the verbs, something like that. I just think that is a really great way to engage with scripture word by word. And I remember things better when I write them down anyway. So very thoughtfully done.
Who would have thought that Anna is a former English teacher?
Well, you know, Deuteronomy 17, God had this plan for the king. He had to write out his own scriptures. And, I think there's something about writing things down, slowing the mind down and writing things down. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff, team. Okay, one last word. Let's close here with the gospel. How is it, as a last word, how does the gospel speak into this issue? Yeah, how does the gospel speak into this issue? I know it's kind of like a word of comfort and encouragement for those who've listened to this and are, you know, their heads kind of spinning a little bit.
Well, to me, if we go back to David Powelson's definition that anger is an active stance you take to oppose something you assess as important and wrong, God is righteous, has righteously assessed things in our lives that are important and wrong. And therefore we rightly are under his wrath. It's not fly off the handle wrath, but his wrath. And Jesus on the cross has atoned for that wrath. It's completely gone. And so that's when we embrace him as Savior and Lord, that wrath is completely gone. And that's just great, great, great news. That now we can cultivate our sanctification from that point.
Yeah, and I think just along those same lines, I would say that, and why is it that Jesus dies for us? Why is it that God, you know, sends his son to the cross? It's because of his compassion for us, you know? And so I think that we just can get so frustrated with our kids. And, you know, I think for me, maybe the most important thing is to ask the Lord to give me a heart of acceptance towards them and a heart of compassion towards them, such that in their difficult behavior, I can see past the behavior and see a struggling sinner who's just like me and know that the Lord Jesus has been compassionate to me, a struggling sinner, and that may through the Holy Spirit, his compassion and acceptance of me as a sinner flow then to my child and transform me into a person who has a property of mercy. So how about you, Team Mom?
I think that y'all have assessed it beautifully. I love to think about how God is slow to anger. Mm. And that brings me a lot of comfort that because of what Jesus has done, has interposed himself between me and the wrath of God and taken that away, mm-hmm. that I'm freed from having to feel it, and then also freed to love my children without being burdened by it.
That's great. That's great. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Chat Bettis from the Apollos Project and his curriculum, Parenting with Patients. Thank you so much for being with us, man.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode of Rooted Parent. If you found this podcast helpful or encouraging, we'd appreciate your help in bringing this grace-filled, gospel-centered, Bible-saturated content to others who might also benefit. Help us serve others by sharing this resource on social media, by leaving 5-star feedback, or simply by subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. For more grace-filled, gospel-centered, Bible-saturated resources, be sure to visit www.rootedministry.com. As always, special thanks to High Street Hymns for the music featured on this episode.